Worst of all, I am afraid. Even with the braces on, their red garnets and yellow topaz blazing with stolen emotion, I am afraid. Perhaps the gemstones do not help because this is a special fear. Fear of disappointing. Fear of known failure. I could go to an Emotio tour and have them extract the fear permanently, but I can't shake my suspicion of the needles. That the prick can take more than the enchanters claim. The night pressed against the conservatory's windows like a wall of water, humid and thick. Looking out into the blackness, Day Krona felt squeezed, pressured, as though one careless tap on the pretty green glass would cause it to crack and shatter, allowing the night to rush in, smothering partygoers and servants alike. But the quartet played a joyful tune, and smiles flashed all around. She let herself sway in time to the music while scanning the room's rear left quadrant for suspicious behaviour. Tonight's celebration was in honour of the Chief Magistrate Silver Jubilee. He was the head of all security divisions in the city-state of Lutador, from the food inspectors all the way up through the ranks of the watch to the regulators, the martinets, and of course the Marconian Guard. 12 articles of enchantment, each taken into custody during the Chief Magistrate's tenure, and typically hidden away in the city-state's vaults, were on display. Day Krona carefully wove her way through the tall cases. The sampling of contraband included 1 syringe, 5 masks, 3 necklaces, 1 brooch, 1 poorly blown glass globe, and 1 bronze penknife. All seemingly normal items, all incredibly dangerous. 6 regulators had been assigned to the collection security, and Krona had been excited for the opportunity. Though she was accustomed to field work, 3 years and counting, she was the newest member of this team, under the direction of Captain Delia Hervath, her older sister, and the reason why she often dropped the familial Day in her name. Delia's team was well respected, often given the most high-profile concerns. The glass shell sculpted to fit over Day Corona's ear vibrated.
"I don't like the look of that man in red," came Trey's voice in her helm.
Sucking on an enchanted reverb bead allowed the regulators to communicate with each other at a distance and without being overheard. Trey stood nearest the door, observing as each guest showed the doorman their invitation. "This is a party," he continued. "Red? It's unseemly." Tan and grey and white and brown swirled around the room in vivacious synchronicity. The crowd was spotted through with figures in black such as Day Krona, but a lone man in crimson strolled through the throngs of nobility. His morning suit screamed out for attention, like a swathe of blood on a white child's knee. The path he cut indicated his goal was the exhibit. "Too conspicuous for trouble," Krona thought. Licking out, she caught the reverb bead where it dangled on a thread near her lips and drew it under her tongue. "I'll keep a watch on him," she said, before spitting the bead out again. "Call if you need assistance," Royu said from the other side of the massive room. Z and Sasha passed each other, patrolling the perimeter. As he drew nearer to Krona, the man's features resolved. The light brown of his face was made darker by the circles around his eyes and the sunkenness of his cheeks. He was perhaps 30, 35, and would have been handsome if not for the deep gloom about him. Though his steps found firm footing, his gaze jumped and swirled. His attire and posture were well kempt. Small feathers lined the plunging neckline of his tunic. They looked like little red teeth at her distance.
Thank you for listening to this clip provided to you by Macmillan Audio. To hear more, look for this title wherever audiobooks are sold.